Boy, oh boy. I did not realize, you know, I felt like me and Fenton, just from talking with Landon, I think we were separated at birth or something, because there is a whole lot that I hear that is very similar, you know, and as you heard, even the Pastor Keith reference, I didn't realize Fenton enjoyed that title as well. So hopefully you guys are singing that loud and clear and spreading that on social media. That's always a good thing, okay? But no, that's I'm so glad Landon's here, though, man. This is great. I didn't realize that. So this is a thank you so much for inviting us to come down. We really appreciate it. And one of the things that already has been clear is just you have warmly welcomed us, and that's a big deal. Okay, I know sometimes we don't realize how big a deal that is. I know at Clemson, that's a big deal to us for sure, is we want to be warm and welcoming, and thank you for extending that to us. We have really felt that, so we appreciate that. It's great. I think we're on parallel paths a little bit, because I think y'all are doing a By Faith series. Our year theme is Living By Faith. I love it, because here's the deal with faith is every one of us sitting in here, and it doesn't matter if you think your faith is the lowest or you think you're the most faithful, you know what? We all need more faith. Every single one of us. So that's fantastic. It kind of puts us in a place where we're just like, I just need more. Every day we get challenged to have just more and more. But here's the other thing I'm learning about faith. Do you ever read some of these stories and you have a problem? I mean, I read some of these things and I think, me and God have a problem. Okay? And hopefully what can happen sometimes is read the stories, we're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody got sawed in two. Amen, that's great. I'm like, no, that's not great. That's not, if you're like, does it say that in the Bible? It does. Right at the end of Hebrews 11, you can go in there, okay? And by faith, some were sawed in two. And I thought, you know, have you ever like just nicked your finger on a saw? I don't even like that. It's like, you mean there are people? And sometimes it's easy. I feel like it's easy. You read some things, you're like, oh, yeah. Sure, people do those things by faith. No big deal. I think they're a big deal. I think they're pretty hard. I think that's, I'm going, I don't know. A lot of what I'm learning, I'm thinking, me and God, we've got to have a lot more talks, because I don't know if I'm with you on this and everything. You know, when he's calling us out, when he's essentially to each and every one of us, he's going, hey, come on, you can come a little further. You can go a little bit further. He's saying, listen, you can take a chance. You can take a chance with me. You can come on out. And I always love, for me, the visualization of faith is when the apostles were on a boat, and Peter was like, let me go. He sees Jesus. He's like, I want to go out there. And Jesus says, well, come on. And Peter goes. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. Except, you know, that was only one guy did that. I mean, I would love to say I would be him. Right? And we would all, well, that's what we would do. We would just go, no. Man, I'd be in the back of the boat. It's at night. The water's scary. There's somebody I don't really know on the water. But here's the deal. Even if you're sitting all the way in the back of the boat, okay, the goal wasn't, oh, now Peter's better than everyone else. It may be just slide a little further on your seat. That may be where you are in faith. You may go, okay, listen, I don't know if I can do what that guy did. I don't know if my faith is there. But I can slide a little closer. That's kind of scary to me, okay? And so we all are like on this journey, but it really is God sitting down with us face to face and asking us, will you take a chance with me? Will you take a chance with me? And right now what I'd like for us to do is have some time where you pray where you are in silence. Here's the reason why. Is the power isn't in how meticulously I can preach. It's not how much I can entertain you. I don't even have a PowerPoint presentation. I don't have any videos. I don't have any, you know, I don't have any of those things, but that's not where the power comes from either, right? It's, we've got to like sit down in the presence of God and have like a personal conversation. And maybe we wouldn't even say it out loud, but we might just, you may be sitting here going, I don't like you. I don't know. I won't take a chance on you. Or, okay, I'll take it just a little bit. Here's what, just have some time just to interface with God. Just sit down and have a conversation about faith, about what we're about to read, right? About just about life, but just really more than anything, God, just help me to take a little step forward, right? But have your own conversation. No one else will hear it, okay? So take some time to pray, and then I'll pray and wrap us up. So take a few seconds here and go ahead and have some prayer time. Father, we want to know you more. Pray that whatever part of our heart is guarded or hardened, Father, whatever, wherever we are, whether we're sad or happy or having a hard day or a great day, Father, I pray, and we know that you're meeting us there. Pray that you tune our ears in to you, to your voice, Father. Help us to learn things that we couldn't learn on our own. Father, I pray that you give us courage, but also help us to live out what you're calling us to. Father, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going kind of all over the place. I think you guys probably have more of an order. We're just kind of cruising through a lot of different places. We've stuck, though, in Genesis chapter 22. And many of you guys know the story right there when Abraham is supposed to sacrifice his son Isaac. Okay, it's another one of those stories that you read and you're like, oh, that's, yeah, no big deal. I mean, think about the Bible put this in it of a man being asked to kill his son. Right? You're going, whoa. But it's so easy to go, man, I've heard this before. It's information, right? Now, here's the interesting thing about the Bible. When it's just information, faith becomes really, really hard. Because information doesn't really compel you to do anything, right? Like when I was in school, when you're in school, whenever you're learning something, like information is something you need, right? You need to pass tests and you need to, that's great. Like I want my surgeon to know the information of like how to properly do an operation, okay? That's great. I'm not down on information, all right? But here's the thing I'm learning, especially about faith, is until this becomes a personal story in my own life, you want to know what? Faith just becomes something that is like dragging me down. It's so hard. It's so deflating because I find, man, I mess up more than I am victorious oftentimes. And so just as we're going through this, I'm thinking, and I'm wondering, in your case, is this story personal to you? Because here's the deal, is Abraham is a brother of ours. Did you know that? Abraham's our brother. Isaac is our brother, okay? It's not like, no, they're part of another family. No, they weren't, all right? Now, think about it is, if I asked you to tell a story about my family, it wouldn't matter too much to you. But if you told a story about your family, it's different, huh? Whether it's a story of tragedy, whether it's a story of victory or celebration, whatever that story is, and you ever tell a story about your family, and like in our minds we're thinking, everyone loves this story. Like, I can't tell you enough about my family. And really, yeah, it might be really interesting. But here, truth be told, nobody's family is as interesting as your own oftentimes, okay? So, we start talking. Isn't it different when you're talking about something personal? Isn't it just different than when you're just passing along information? You know, we could read this in Genesis 22, but I wonder if you could tell the story. I wonder if you could tell this story. And you might think, but Keith, this is like we read it out of the Bible, so it's accurate. But we have to understand something is that when this book was written, right, it wasn't written in English. Okay, it's a translation, okay, and it's this story. We can tell it and not to leave parts out, but until we can tell it as a personal part of our own story, it's going to be really tough to translate into life every day. Because I don't know about you, life is pretty complicated, isn't it? Right, it's not just that simple. And sometimes that's what can kind of get us down a little bit. We're going, this seems so simple. This is Abraham, just, here's my son. Here we go, boom. And we're going, boy, life is not like that. No part of it is. Tomorrow and the rest of today, it just isn't. It's very complicated, right? But being able to personalize this, being able to tell this story, being able to tell your story and your journey of faith, all right? But when you tell this story, you sometimes have to stop and really kind of let it sink in what is being asked here, because this is not like normal God that we're used to anyway. I mean, here's what, like, the default God in my head, and I don't know, maybe this is the one in your head and heart as well, is that, you know, there are certain things I need to pray about, but ultimately if I pray long enough, God will come around and give me what I want. You ever done that? Like, he's not answering my prayers. Like, I'll just pray more because he'll give me what I want. And I'm going, whoa, hold on a minute. This God is like, hold on. Like, Abraham didn't wake up and said, you know what would be great is if God asked me to sacrifice my son, not just my son who's whatever, my son who I love, my only son who I love, right? And going, hold on a minute. Why didn't he just pray more? God, this God doesn't seem to give him what he wants. for some reason, and that's a wrestling match right there, huh? Because sometimes we're going, he just isn't answering my prayers. No, he is answering our prayers. But sometimes he's telling us stuff, and we're going, God, I don't know, that's hard for me. It's okay to say that. It's okay to go, hold on a minute. You mean I need to take a little time because this is tough? You know, did you know when Abraham was walking Isaac up to sacrifice him, you know there was a faster way to go. There's a faster way to go. He didn't need to take that much time. You know, and I don't know. We don't know what he was doing for those days. And he's just walking around going, maybe God will change his mind. And we're just kind of going, you know. We kind of talk about it's like putting our kids to bed at night, you know. They could go right to bed, but they don't ever do that, okay? They've got to get water and go to the bathroom and get a snack and go and do, you know, all these things. Abraham's like, listen, we respect Abraham for his faith, but this wasn't easy. How much wrestling had to go on, right? This wasn't simple. This wasn't uncomplicated, right? This is a man walking around with his son for 3 days, and who knows what was going through his mind. It wasn't like probably joy, okay? It wasn't like these are the greatest days of my life. This is, God, what are you doing? Have you ever had that before as a disciple? You're just like, what are you doing? All right, so, and it's okay to admit that, okay? I mean, you can feel the freedom to do that, okay? It's going, God, I don't know what you're doing right now. But what's admirable about Abraham, he's like, as long as I don't know, I do know that you told me to go in this direction, I'm going to keep obeying you. Even if it's kind of like 1 foot, you know, I could go faster, but this is as fast as my heart is letting me go right now, you know? But it's that idea, he's moving ahead. And unfortunately, you know, here's a roadblock. I mean, for me, when I think of becoming more faithful, it's easier to think about, well, what are some roadblocks that may come in front of me? Right. One of them is thinking there's something wrong with not understanding God. That's an okay thing, to stop and go, I don't understand. Like, let's talk about that. That's why praying all the time is a good thing. God, we got to talk a lot, over and over and over again, because I don't understand. I want to understand. I know you can teach me. Please just let's wrestle through that. Here's the other thing, though, that's a roadblock. Is trying to get God to like you. Okay. That's not just a roadblock, man. That's the end of the road. That's the end of your theological road following God, is the idea of coming to a place where there's kind of a divided road. We can choose one of two directions. Oftentimes the direction we choose is, okay, I need to do this, then God will like me. I'll do this, then God will love me. Okay? Just think in your mind, do you ever get stuck in that place? Boy, if I just have a great quiet time, God will love me. Let me put it this way. Have you ever had a really great day? Did a lot of great things? Encouraged a lot of people? Baptized a friend? Reached out? Everything's going your way. And do you ever think, God is really happy with me right now? God loves me, okay? And then you mess up bad. You ever had a day like that, a week like that, a month like that maybe, okay? And you're going, oh boy, God doesn't love me at all. I'm unlovable. Okay, that's a dangerous kind of pattern to get into, because here's a statement I want you to chew on as you dig through faith. Right now, this very second, okay, God cannot love you any more than he can right now. There's no way. You need to chew on that. Don't just accept that either. Don't. Hopefully, but I mean, you may need to take that home, because I've said that and people are going, Keith, that is so false. I don't like that statement, that God loves me now to the furthest extent that he could possibly love me. On my worst day, that's true. On my best day, that's true. He can't love you more than he does this second. And you know what's crazy? I don't know what you did this morning. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you did last week. I don't know how your spiritual life is. I have no idea. But I am absolutely confident that God cannot love you more than he does right this second. Okay, and if we don't start in that place, then it's like this pursuit of getting God to like us by doing things. Okay, now I'm just going to do it. But then things get hard, and then you feel the pressure of Christianity, and you feel this weight. And you want to know what? You're supposed to feel the weight, because you're trying to do it on your own. Instead of going, you know what? I'm not doing this because I want God to love me. It's because he loves me that I'll trust him. When he's saying, hey, come on, man. Come on, Keith, you can go another step. You know, I'll trust you. You know why? Because I'm not trying to get close. You love me the most right now. even in all of my ups and downs and all of my, like, insecurity and all that kind of stuff, without that being a starting point, boy, I'll tell you what, this pursuit of faith becomes this discouraging, just place of insecurity and pride, right? You're, like, why I say that is because if you have a great day, you feel prideful and better than everyone else. And if you have a bad day, you feel insecure and worse than everyone else. Neither of those are good places to be, okay? And so as he's walking his son up the mountain, and he gets up there, and they start, like, unloading the supplies. It's interesting what Abraham says. As they're unloading it, it's like Isaac was, like, putting two and two together, right? I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I don't know what Isaac would be like, but if you're hanging out with Isaac and he was like, okay, we got everything and we're missing something, you know? You know, could you see? I mean, how long did it take Isaac to verbalize that? Like, you know, half a day he's going, man, did Dad forget something? Did what? Oh, man, I don't know, Dad. He is like 100-something years old. I mean, I don't know. Am I in trouble for not bringing it? And then he finally asks his dad, and he said, Dad, like, you have everything here, but there's no offering. And it's interesting what Abraham said. He said, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it, okay? Here in Genesis chapter 22, In verse 7, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father, Dad. And his dad said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide. All right, that's a profound statement right there, okay? Because here's the truth. Let's sit down with Abraham for a minute. How do you say that? Based on what evidence? Based on what evidence are you saying? God will provide. No, buddy, you've reached the end of the road. We are here, right? It's been unloaded. The time has come. I mean, you're talking about desperation. How would you feel at that point? Have you ever got to that point where you almost feel panicky? You ever been there before? I think most of us have at some point where you feel panicky and you're going, oh, this is the hardest time to have faith. And it's the hardest time when you're totally overwhelmed emotionally to go, hold on, let me take a deep breath. The Lord will provide. Now, understand something. We don't know if he looked that way when he said it, okay? We don't know if he wasn't frantic. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You know, we think it's just like a mixture of VeggieTales and bad Christian movies, right? It's just like they're cool. The Lord will provide. It's no big deal. And I'm like, really? As a parent, I'd be crying. You know, what are you crying for? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You know, you just be, it's not just like Joe Cool. I know we wish it'd be like that, but it's not, okay? It's not VeggieTales. It isn't those things, right? It's like this real stuff. And what would a dad be like, even in his most faithful moments? Can you imagine his heart just breaking? But he's going, here's what I know. I know God. Somehow. Do you ever say that to yourself? It's just as a meditation. The Lord will provide. I know I'm in a tough place. This is hard and scary. But you know what sometimes happens, though, is things get hard and scary, and we get kind of lonely sometimes, and we get kind of isolated. And you know the first thing that can happen is that's what we forget. We forget to just remind ourselves of who God is, right? Abraham didn't just meet God, right? He had this journey with God, and it was up and down. That's what's neat, right? He's like, oh, you messed up, and then you did great, and he's got this great heart about faithfully following God, but it's the idea of he's remembering, no, the Lord will, in the actual, like, translation, it says the Lord will see to it. You know, when somebody says that, I'll see to it. Yeah. So that was it, the Lord will see to it. And then, you know, the story as it goes on from there, he arrived there in verse 9 when they arrived at the place that God had told him about. Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, we've got to slow down because here's the most important part. If we want to become more faithful, you know, a lot of times one of the simplest things to do is we need to slow down as we read the text. Yeah. We need to slow down, because in our minds we're going, oh man, he just built an altar, put wood, wrapped his son, and he's ready to burn him in like 10 seconds. You know, and that ruins the story. That's not real. How long did this take? Could you imagine if you were like hanging out around there and you're going, whoa, and how miserable it would be. I remember when I went to college, you know, I was 18 and I was ready to go. Like, I went to school about 3 hours away from home. I was living in a dormitory, which was the greatest thing in the world at the time, you know, and my dad drove me down to school, and we unloaded everything, and I'm like, okay, Dad, see ya. Time to go. Look at, do you see all this here? It's time for me to get moving. And Dad was like, do you need a bike pump? No, I don't think I, no, I think you do. So we drive to the bike shop. Hey, do you have a coat? Now we got to drive across town to get this. And we're going, I'm like, Dad, come on. Like, you know, but the point being is he was just dragging his feet. And that was me going to college, you know. And just this idea, this scene of watching a faithful man build an altar, right? And why? Does that do much for us? Well, I'll tell you what, it helps like connect our hearts to our family and go, man, I'm proud of Abraham. I am proud of Abraham. Wrestling through that, right? And we need to be proud. If there's going to be faith grown amongst us, we need to be proud of our brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay, not just when somebody does something that we think they should have done, but like that little step, yeah. Right? It's that idea, man. I am proud of you. I am proud. We've got to say those words, right? I mean, that has to happen to go, because without that, then faith is just this like scary, lonely journey that you go on, okay? But hopefully you're proud of Abraham, even if he is dragging his feet. And can you imagine when you told his son, I don't know, any teenager that would be like, yeah, tie me up and kill me. You know, I don't know. Did he chase him around? Like, what did he do? I mean, you know, you got to think, this guy's over 100. He's got a teenage. I can't catch a teenager, and I'm in my mid-40s. You know, I can't even imagine the scenes. Like, Dad, no, stop. I mean, could you imagine this drama that's going on? And then he finally has it happen, and then he's about to go through with this. So they arrived at the place, and he takes the knife in verse 10, and he reaches out to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord just said, which wouldn't it be amazing? She said, he just yells his name, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Boy, could you imagine better words to hear? Oh, my goodness, could you imagine that? Okay. And he says, stop. Spirit says, Abraham, Abraham. And then Abraham's like, I'm here. Who knows how slow that dagger was coming down? He's like, any time now, God. You know, I'm here. He said, don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. And we're not going to unpack this part right here, but it's worth unpacking, is this idea of this seed of faith that starts out with not withholding. Isn't that amazing? He just didn't withhold something. I think we withhold a lot. I'm not going to go there, but I mean, to me, that's pretty provocative when I'm going, I want to become more faithful. Abraham didn't withhold, okay? But it goes on. And he says, you didn't withhold your only son from me. Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain, okay? This is what's awesome about, like, back then. They named everything. I loved it. You know, it's not like, where are you going today? Duluth. No. Somebody would name it, like, oh, place where I grew up. Well, where are you going home? Place where I grew up. Okay, he says, I'm naming this place. And you know what they're really cool? It says, Yahweh Yireh is what he says, okay? The Lord provided. Every time he went around there, every time Isaac went around there, every time the family went around there, it's like, you remember that place? The Lord, you remember what happened there? We call it, you don't even have to remember because it's the name. The Lord provided. You don't have to remember. Dad, why do they call it the Lord provided? Because let me tell you this story. I mean, it was just a story that built faith upon faith through generations because of this word. And what's really cool, and not to jump over this word, but the first Yahweh, right, that word, here's the amazing part of that. If you want to, like, dig into that word, did you know that name in particular? It means many things, but specifically it means the uncreated. Like, can you imagine somebody being named the uncreated? The no ending. That's what God named himself. That was his personal name. I am no beginning. I am the uncreated. We don't know anyone else like that. We don't know what that's all about. But you can imagine, if you are the uncreated with no ending and that's your name, boy, is there anyone else I want to trust? Is there anyone else I want to take a chance with, right? But he says this. He says, so here it is. Yahweh Yireh. Where are your places, I wonder, that are Yahweh Yireh? Where you drive by and you're like, the Lord provided. It was hard. I remember going through hard times, and I remember there at that house, the Lord provided. Yep. I remember here with these friends, the Lord provided, right? Because it isn't always just about what's in front of us. It's this idea of remembering what was behind us too, right? If we want to grow in faith, it's the idea of going, man, you know, how many of those do you have? If any, right? Isn't it easy to just go on, you forget everything, or things were bad, and so they always are. But have you ever thought of a bad situation you're like, the Lord provided? Sometimes I don't want to look at the bad stuff in my past. But you know what's clear? The Lord provided. Yahweh Yireh. Every time I go back, I can think of, oh, the Lord provided. Well, why does that matter? Because the next step forward, I can remember that. All right? And again, it's not easy. I'm not talking about you're just like, you know, skipping along life and it's just simple to do. This is sometimes in the midst of sorrow and sadness, right? It's not, listen, being a disciple, there's no better thing in the world than being a disciple. But it's the hardest thing we'll ever do. It is sorrowful, right? It's very, very easy to even hold our hearts back. It's like, I just don't want to be let down. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want other people to hurt me. And so we just forget to have these monuments here. But here's, so all of that being said, when I read this, there is, I look at that and I'm like, I want that. Like, I would love to be that way all the time, right? Yahweh Yireh. Just doesn't matter how hard life gets. That's what I want to be like. I want to be like, oh, man, remember that? Okay, now I can take, God, what's the next step forward? What's that next scary step forward? Because I remember you provide. What is that? That's what helps me do this. But here's the deal. Just wanting it, I don't get it just wanting it. That would be awesome, but I don't get it just going, I really want that. That would be great. So tomorrow, no. Here's the interesting thing that he did here let me just tell you, this is a daily, if not hourly battle for me. Abraham had to absolutely lose control. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, okay? Because we are amongst friends here. Control Freaks Anonymous. That's us in this room. Every single one of us. Even if you pride yourself on it, you're like, yeah, I know people who control. Not me. I'm like totally uncontrolling. You're lying.
That's right.
Okay? I'm just saying. I don't have to know you. But that's what we are. We control. And part of what Abraham did is he said, you know what? I'm not going to control the outcome. Wow. I'm not going to control the outcome. And here's the deal. When I say I want to be more faithful, when I say I want to be like this, when I say I want to be able to say Yahweh Yireh and mean it, you know what it's saying? I've got to give up control of the outcome. He gave up control of Isaac's future. Well, that's hard to do as a parent. That's a tough one to do. I don't know, parents. I mean, let's think about it a little bit. Are you really okay with giving up control of your child's future? Because this is a tough thing. More and more, the end of the world's getting to be a scarier place. And you know what happens as a parent? And I feel it too. Me and Abby feel this. Is you want to like really micromanage and get them through safely. Here's the truth. There's no safety in the world. In fact, I want my children to know that because that's what's going to draw them to Jesus. Okay, so it's this idea of there's no amount of control. There is no amount of control to do that, but it's really, I've got to, boy, how easy is that? To give up, to lose control of the outcome of your child. Now, I'm not talking about a three-year-old. You're going, hey, you know what Keith said today? Hey, why is your three-year-old playing out in the street? Well, Keith said, you know, that's what faith's all about. No. Listen, understand, I'm talking about like older kids here, okay? But it's that idea of sometimes we like navigate our kids and our kids are living our own dreams. Our kids are living our own, like we make them scared because you never make it if I don't like manage you. And here's how we become more faithful as we go, you know what, I am going to lose control of the outcome here. So some of you guys may remember this. Years and years ago, the University of Texas played USC for the national championship game. And Russell's a USC alumni, I think, if he's right. And so I didn't even realize I was going to tell this story, but University of Texas played University of Southern California, okay? That's not USC Columbia. That's not real, okay? USC California versus the University of Texas, okay? And Texas had this quarterback named Colt McCoy, all right? And you know what happened to Colt McCoy in the national championship game? He blew his knee out. Yeah, devastating. That was it. Couldn't play, team lost, heartbreaking. This is what you spend your whole athletic career to get to. And he was hurt. And you know, everyone was amazed at his graciousness. Everyone was amazed at his composure. Everyone was amazed. And they sat down, there was a reporter sat down with his dad. They said, how did you do that? Like, we would have understood talking to your son and him being discouraged and, you know, just maybe even, like, not wanting to talk or rude or insane. We could have been, like, we would understand that, but it was the opposite. How did you do that? And he made this really interesting statement. He said, here's one of the most important things we did as a parent, right? We prepared our child for the path, not the path for our child. Okay, that's the same thing that we're talking about here with Abraham and Isaac. It's this idea of you prepare your child for the path, not the path for the child. Not going out front going, oh, there's a rock. You might trip on it. Let me move it out of the way. Let me do this. No. Let's talk about the rocks and the roadblocks, and let's be prepared for that, okay? And I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but we can do a lot of faithful preparing, all right? And that's one of the things, losing control of the outcome as parents. Anybody single in here that want to get married? Maybe one or two. You're going, it'd be great to be married one day. All right? Boy, I'll tell you, there's not many scarier times. My daughter better not have raised her hand on that either. You're way too young. But there's not many scarier times in life than thinking, I may never get married. Right? Boy, nothing screams in our brains and our hearts more than you better take it into your own hands. You control the outcome. You make it happen. You do this. And boy, that's the Yahweh Yireh moment, huh? I remember, the Lord just provided. All right, I am not in danger here. The Lord isn't up there going, you know what? I just created you to mess with you. All right, I created you because I didn't really like you, okay? That's not what he was doing. But it's the idea of, you know what, as I love in Matthew when Jesus said, you know, you guys who are dads, your kids ask you for things and you know how to give it to them. You know how to give them good things. And then Jesus said, and you're evil. like you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Father in heaven, right? That's one of those Yahweh is going, hold on a minute. You know what? Dad knows how to give me good things. God knows how much more when it's like, okay, let me walk in faith. Let me not control the outcome, right, and get all unrighteous and all controlling and all this kind of stuff and going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk. Here's what I know. There are some things when times are tough that I know Jesus is calling me to, right? One of them is to be a servant. On my worst day, when I don't know anything else to do, I can try to meet a need. On my worst day, I can go, God, I don't know what else to do except serve. That's all I can do right now, right? I know he wants, then there's tougher things too. There's like forgiveness that he asks us, you know, right? How to love people, not just my friends, but my enemies, right? He says, love as I have loved you, right? When I don't know anything else, I can go, you know what, God, you take care of that thing. I mean, I remember praying every single morning, and I didn't realize I was praying for Abby. I was praying every, God, you just take care of it. Please, you take care of it. I just want to follow you. This is scary for me. Okay. And just keep walking forward. You know, Abraham is just like, okay, just walk ahead. Walk ahead. Just God, guide me. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Please purify my heart and give me courage. Okay, those are the conversations that we have to have. But losing control of the outcome, are you willing to take that chance? See, that's a chance you have to take, right? Now, you know intellectually, you're like, but it's God. Of course he can take care of everything. But really, like, in our heart of hearts, this is what makes faith difficult. It's going, am I willing to take that chance? To stop, like, frantically, anxiously just trying to be coupled up and going, you know what, God? I'm going to follow you. You take care of that. I want this to be a Yahweh Yireh moment where I can look back and go, the Lord provided right here, okay? There's that. There's jobs and dreams. I can go, but I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to. Can you give up control of the outcome? All right, that right there, I want you to just kind of play that in your head, write it down, think of it. That is not an easy concept. It just isn't. There's no part of it that is. There's no part of this story that's an easy concept. It's a simple story, but it is not easy. It's going to require us each day to kind of plug it in and go, okay, man, what am I trying to control? Like, I have red flags that come up when I get all in control mode in my mind, right? One of those flags that goes up is I start getting very irritable at everybody, right? And no one does that here. I know that. There's not a soul in here that does that, okay? But here's the deal is once I know I'm starting to get irritable, I start going, well, why am I so irritable at people? Because they're not doing what I want them to do. All right? So it's like, have you ever had that before? You're going, nah, but Keith, I'm not controlling. You don't know me. You're not even from Georgia. You don't know anything about me. Everyone says I'm not controlling. Okay, fine. Okay? But here's the deal is when people don't do what you want, right, you just get irritable. That's control. Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? All right? This is about losing control. That's that one, there's this one nugget that I pull from this. And I'm going, that's what I need to be reminded of. And now here's the deal is there's not a graduation day for that. Okay? Like if that's what you're looking for, you're like, I'm going to determine to take the next 2 weeks and meditate on that and graduate perfectly to doing that. I'm like, well, you know, life doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't matter if you've been a disciple for 100 years or a week. Right? It's the idea of I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming later this afternoon. I don't know. I know my first instinct is going to be to control outcomes, to be controlling instead of going, hold on a minute, you know what? Let me remember my brother Abraham in this gut-wrenching moment. The Lord will provide. He will see to it. And that may be the only thing we have to keep saying over and over and over and over. But you know what sometimes we end up saying? This is horrible. This is the worst. This is never going to work out. The worst is going to happen. Oh, my gosh. I knew this. I knew this was going to happen. Nothing good happens to me. And you know what's funny is that we, like, somebody spoke, talked about the spoken word up here. Boy, that's like ground zero, is the spoken word that we tell ourselves. Believe me, you'll obey it after time if you tell yourself something enough. This is horrible. It's just going to get worse. It won't get any better. Okay, then you wonder what? You're ultimately going to go, yeah, that's true. Let me just go into it and say, no. Like, let's reverse that a little bit. Hold on. The Lord will see to it. Not Yahweh will see to it. The uncreated. The no ending. Right? Yahweh will see to it. And how many times do I have to say that over and over? I don't know how many times you're going to have to. I know it's going to take a lot from me each day. Okay. Yes, you will see to it. The Lord will see to it. Who is Yahweh? Yeah, and just that. And you want to know, those are like those little steps, like just making your way up. Remember that boat that all the apostles were in that Peter stepped out? And it's like, I don't know, there's Peter. He's pretty awesome, but he's sinking. Like, I knew he wasn't that good, you know? Like, you know, but it's this idea of going, I can go a little bit further and a little bit further. And it's just that idea of the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. All right, let's determine that just at the very least that we even change what we're saying to ourselves in our head and remember Abraham. In this one, this is one little nugget of this story. We probably could like unpack this for weeks, right? But hopefully this right here is helpful. And you learned a little Hebrew, right? Like Yahweh Yireh. Now everybody will think, wow, you know a ton about God. But it's not true. It's just a short word. But hopefully that, but and the other thing that just keeps coming up to my mind is there's individually what we can do. But don't forget, as a community, we have to be proud of our brothers and sisters. Okay. Because there are times we're going to be going in faith, and it's going to be like leaps and bounds. And then there's other going to be, and just shuffling along. You know, it goes a long way to go, man, I'm proud of you. Yeah. Oh. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Man, come on, let's go. Right? And helping one another, knowing that we're all going to be in different places. So let's finish up. We're going to go to God in prayer and then close it out here. Father, thank you.